Well, we didn't get very far yesterday in verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 1. We got hung up a little bit there on that word obedience. But really, it's something that needs to be preached today and something that needs to be talked about. And so I just stayed there on that first phrase, as obedient children. He's telling the saints that are scattered abroad, that are suffering, because of Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake, trusting because of their stand for God, suffering because of their stand for God, suffering because they have stood up and left the Jewish religion or left their heathen religion, in either case, and they're being persecuted. And now he's told them all these wonderful things that has happened to them when they got saved. And now he's giving them instructions as to how to face the situation. Isn't it wonderful? God doesn't leave us without instruction. God doesn't tell us to believe on him and trust him and get saved and then just figure it all out for ourselves and do the best we can from then on. I'm glad for that. I'm glad he gives us instruction. Boy, those instructions hurt sometimes too. This old flesh that we live in rebels against them. My, how it rebels against them. And we get all furried up in the neck, you know, because we don't like what the Bible has to say. But if we want to do what God says, and if we want to be happy in Jesus, we're going to have to do what he says. And here he says, as obedient children. You check your life. I challenge you to check your life. And if you're not like 90% of the rest of the people that I talk to with problems, you'll find that's one of the biggest problems you have. You have not been obedient to the Word of God. You've tried to figure a way around it. You've tried to say, well, that don't mean me. Or you found you a translation that says something different. You say, he's not talking about me. He's talking to another generation. Or he's talking to somebody else. He don't mean me when he says that. And I think you'll find out that if you will just be an obedient child of God, it'll wipe away the largest part of any problem that you might have. So he says, be obedient, children. Just be children and be obedient. After all, that's what we are. We're children of God, and we will remain children of God until he comes again. And when he comes again, then we'll be mature. When he comes again, then we'll be mature. I laugh sometimes at these Christians who refer to themselves as mature Christians, you know. We talk about mature Christians. I hear it from the pulpit, you know. If you are a mature Christian, you'll do so and so and so and so and so and so. Well, mature means to be grown up. That's what it means. It means to be grown up. Well, we're not going to be completely perfect and grown up until we get our new body. And so we are not mature. We are on the way toward being mature, and some are more mature than others. Just like in the physical realm, you meet people who are very mature. Sometimes you'll meet a 16-year-old lad that's just as mature in his thinking as his daddy. But then you will meet a 40-year-old Christian that acts like a little baby, you know. And then you'll find in the secular world people who just won't grow up. They just will not grow up. And they're constantly in problems because they won't grow up. Well, you grow up as children by being obedient unto the Lord. Verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, not doing like you used to do, not doing like you did before you trusted Christ as your Savior, not even looking at things like you looked at them when you did when you were a sinner, when you were away from God and away from the hope that you have in Christ. Your mind's supposed to be girded up. Your mind's supposed to be changed. You're supposed to have a different mindset. How in the world can a person keep the same old carnal mind and give in to that old carnal mind all the time and be happy in Jesus? How can he do it? How can he overcome his discouragement? How can he overcome his persecution? Well, he says here, Very, very clearly, he says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, if you keep thinking like you used to think after you're saved, and you try to fit God's program into your program, then, my dear friend, the Bible simply says you're in ignorance. You say, preacher, you ought not to tell me that. Well, then change. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, at least I've heard him say, that somebody said, preacher, you're rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. And, you know, you're rubbing it the wrong way. And if you want to make the cat happy, rub it the right way. And old Dr. Bob Sr. says, nah, just turn the cat around. Just turn the cat around. And that's what some of you folks need to do. You need to turn the cat around and let some of this hard preaching in the Bible, let it rub you in the right way instead of the wrong way. All right, and get out of your ignorance. Do not be ignorant. There is no virtue in ignorance. The Apostle Paul said, I would not like to have you to be ignorant, brethren. And, of course, he's talking about the second coming, and it's a little bit out of context, but I like to quote it sometime to people who are showing ignorance and say, well, look here, Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And some of you are just plain ignorant. Or you're mad at me about saying it now. You're mad at me about saying it, but that's all right. That's all right. You just turn the cat around. You let the Spirit of God speak to your heart, and you'll find out that when you get your mind set on Christ, you get your mind set on the things of God, your life will change. I'm talking to Christians now. That's who Peter's talking to. And I'm talking to Christians now. Unsaved people need to get saved. That's the first thing you need to do. You need to get saved. But Christians need to not fashion themselves according to the former lust in their ignorance. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, we're dealing with a holy God. We're not dealing with a Santa Claus God. I used to preach a sermon on the Santa Claus God. Well, we're not dealing with a Santa Claus God up there in heaven somewhere with a big red suit and white fur and long beard that looks down and smiles and pats us on the head and says, you're not as bad all the time as you are some of the time. I believe I'll give you something for Christmas anyway. No, we're not looking at that kind of a God. We're looking at a holy God, a holy God. And he says, so be ye holy. If you're going to be a part of God, then, and the family of God, then, not a part of God, but a part of the family of God, then you need to be working toward holiness. Say, preacher, that's a bad term among us Baptists. Well, do you good to use it. Be holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And that word means in your whole life, everything you say and everything that you do. Well, I hope today some of you have been shaken just a little bit, and you'll turn around and turn back and start getting your mind set on Christ instead of the things of this world.